everybody. Amen.
Love,
I want to welcome
radio.
This is Mighty Men of Valor with your host, Reverend Cleveland Howell III, a Living Save Ministries production. We invite you to listen as Reverend Cleveland Howell III teaches young men using sound biblical doctrine and personal life experience how to live a better life in this world. And now, without any further delay, here is your host, Reverend Cleveland Howell III.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. I want to welcome each and every one of you tonight to the Mighty Man of Valor show. Amen. I'm your host for the show, Reverend Cleveland Howell III. And we thank the Lord, amen, for each and every one of you. God has been so good to all of us. Amen. As we look back over our lives, as we look back over the weeks and over the days and over the hours, amen, God has been so good to each and every one. Amen. I want to thank the Lord for allowing the Mighty Man of Valor show to go on vacation. Amen. The Lord allowed us to go on vacation for a few weeks. Amen. And we thank the Lord that he allowed us traveling mercies. God is so merciful, and he's so kind to us. And we just want to tell the Lord thank you. Amen. So as we continue to move forward with the show, as we always do, amen, we're going to begin with prayer tonight. Amen. Amen. Father in heaven, we come tonight saying thank you, O God. We thank you for this time of prayer. We thank you for this opportunity, O Lord, to come boldly before your throne of grace. Now, Lord, we need you. Lord, we are nothing without you, O God. We can't do anything without you, O God. We pray for the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, in our lives. Lord, order our steps, direct our paths. Father, we pray for those who have gone astray. Father, we pray for those who don't know you as their personal Savior. Father, we pray for those who may have a bad spirit, those who may have a bad attitude, oh God. Lord, rebuke it and remove it in the name of Jesus, oh God. Oh, Father God, we pray for love. We pray for peace. We pray for kindness. We pray for mercy towards each other. Oh, God, as you have loved us, as you have shown us, Lord, help us to show each other. Now, Lord, we pray for our unsaved loved ones, Lord. Father, we have many who don't know you as their personal Savior. We have many who think that, Lord, they can make it with their paychecks, that they can make it with the houses that they live in, that they can make it with the vehicles that they're making in. But, Lord, you said in your word, in St. John 15 and 5, the latter part, for without me ye can do nothing. So, Lord, we thank you for knowing that you said in your word, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So, Lord, strengthen us in the things of you. Lord, help us, Lord. Give us strength, O God. Restore our bodies, Lord. Restore our minds. Lord, help us to be the people of God, O Lord, who thirst and hunger after your righteousness. Now, Lord, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you've done. Father, we pray for the speaker tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for a fresh anointing. We pray for a fresh rhema word, O God, that, Father, we would hear from heaven. O God, we thank you in advance for what you've done. Father, we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we want to welcome each and every one of you once again to the Mighty Man of Valor show tonight. Amen. As I was looking at the calendar, I'm like, wow, Lord, time is going. This is the second week in June. There's six more months left. There's five more months left, and this year is gone. So let me ask you a question before we go any further. What have you accomplished since January the 1st, 2000,
15, what have you accomplished? It's something that I just want you to let marinate tonight in your hearts, in your minds. Amen. Let's read a passage of scripture, then we're going to move on, amen, with the service. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. Amen. And the Bible said, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, the 17th verse. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word tonight. Amen. Without further ado tonight, we want to introduce the speaker of the hour. Amen. We want to introduce Evangelist Beecham, amen, to the congregation, to the world, amen, that the Lord would use him tonight for his glory. Evangelist Beecham, we want to welcome you tonight, amen, to the Mighty Man of Valor show. We thank the Lord for you taking the time out tonight to share with us. Amen.
How you doing this morning? How you doing this afternoon?
Amen. Amen. Doing fine. We want to welcome you once again to the Mighty Man of Valor show. Amen. And whatever the Lord has placed on your heart to share with his people tonight, amen, we thank the Lord for that.
Amen. Amen. How you doing tonight? First, I'd like to just give God the honor, the glory, and the praise for giving me this opportunity to come on your show to just share a little bit what he had put on my mind and placed in my heart.
Amen.
We're dealing in a very difficult time right now. Many people I find is going through many different issues in life. Some of us going through the same issues. Some of us, many of us, going through different issues. But really, it doesn't matter what issue you're going through. You're going to, as I speak tonight, you're going to see what really matters. First,
amen.
I'd like to go into, before I get into my sermon, I'd like to give honor to you and reverence to you and thanking you for this opportunity to let me come on your air to show tonight and airways and speak to the audience that God has placed as followers as you come every week to preach the word of God. Next, I'd like to thank my pastor, Pastor Rose, for the opportunity to be in his presence under his leadership and under his guidance. And I thank God for your friendship, Elder Howell, and the things that we share together in the Word. I thank God for the relationship I have with you concerning the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
And I thank God for the listeners. And so as before I go to my sermon, I would like to have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, your servant come with bowed head and humble heart, empty vessel, Father God, asking you to speak through me, Father God, to reach your people, Father God. Father God, I'm holding you to your word, Father God. You say, if you preach my word, it will not come out void. And Father God, I'm praying right now that your word will not come out void. It will reach somebody, Father God. If they ain't number one, Father God, I want to give you the praise. I want to give you the honor. And I want to just thank you for that one person that the word may touch, Father God. And then, Father God, you said, unto him that is able to do exceeding above all that we ask to think of. And I believe, Father God, if you bless someone else, Father God, I thank you for that grace and mercy, Father God, that you touch someone else's heart, Father God, because it is your desire for us to hear your word, Father God. Now, this year's servant prayer that I pray to you, Father God. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, Father God. This I pray in your name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to call
Amen.
Your attention tonight to a topic that God has placed on my heart and in my mind. How to handle my trials. We all are going through some type of trials, and I want to talk to you today on how to handle your trials. And some of you, even though you're listening to me, know how to handle your trials, but sometimes our trials get the best of us. Am I right about that, preacher? Sometimes our trial can hold us back for doing what we already know what to do, because fear came upon us in the midst of our trial. But as a child of God, God and a student of God's word, one must know how to handle his trial, because many times people are watching us go through something. And if we're professing Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're going to have to be able to gird ourselves up. We're going to have to be able to stand. We're going to have to be able to be unmovable. We're going to have to be able to be sound in doctrine so that we can be able to stand as we go through to get to the finish line. Because nothing can stop a child of God. Nothing can stop a child of God. Even though we hesitate and we might have fear for a split second, but fear don't last in a child of God. So I want to talk to you tonight how to handle my trial. And I have trials in my life, not just one time, probably countless of times. And I can always tell you I was able to handle my trial in a proper way. But I find out why I couldn't handle my trial, because Jesus wasn't in my life.
My Lord.
And so that's why I reacted a certain way, through emotion, not fear, but through emotion, through attitude, not gratitude, through frustration, and to a point where it could have caused me to be in a much more worse trial than I was in. Now I'm in a trial in the courthouse because I didn't have the characteristic of God. And so we got to learn how to handle our trial, because if we don't, emotion will take over. And anytime your emotion take over you, you're going to lose control. Because you entangle with your emotion, your thoughts, and your thoughts got to be signed. And so I want to talk to you tonight how to handle your trial, or remind some of us when we go through trial what we must still do when we're going through it. And we see in my introduction, in times of trial, one of the first things that come upon you is fear. Somebody say fear.
Oh, yes.
In times of trial, one of the first things that come upon you, I said, is fear. And just because the word fear come up doesn't mean you are scared, doesn't mean you are a coward, doesn't mean you have to prove that you can stand up. That's not the type of fear I'm talking about. I'm talking about the type of fear when you stop believing.
Okay.
I'm talking about the type of fear that make you stop trusting. I'm talking about the type of fear that makes you lean to your own understanding and you forget about Proverbs 3:5-6, that trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. This is the type of fear I'm talking to the Christian about. Trust God and forget about your own understanding. And I guarantee you, if you apply that scripture to your life in the prescription, the medicine, the word, which is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway, if you can see clearly that trust God. Trust God.
Yeah.
And because the reason why you got to trust God, because Psalm 23 sums it up. The Lord is my shepherd,
Amen.
I shall not want. When you trust God, he's your shepherd. He's your head. And all that you got to do is follow him. He's your butler. He's your shield.
That's right.
And fear can't get into you because God is covering you. That's why he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. What I mean, your mind, your soul, your strength, your body, and everything you do. Forget about what you can do and believe in what he can do. Because he said it. So we see in times of trial that one, in times of trial, one of the first things that come upon you is fear. And God don't put fear in his children. He said because he would have never said we are more than conquerors. So you know it can't be God. Because he said in Romans, we are more than conquerors through him. And then Paul told the Philippians, he said that I can do all things through Christ that strengthen me. So you know that when fear come on you, it's not God putting fear in you. So who is it? It is, I tell you who it is. It is the deceiver. Someone that pretended to be who they say they are, but they not who they say they are. That's what you call a deceiver. To give a false impression. That's the devil. That he'll give you what your flesh like, but he won't give you what your spirit need to leave your flesh one day. Am I talking to anybody up in this church?
That's the
deceiver. He can't give you nothing going to last. He can just only give you something for the present, and the present right now will consume you, and you will never think about your future. That's the deceiver. Oh, he'll give you what you need right now. He'll give you what you want right now, but it's not what's going to last. The devil is like your money. It'll run out.
My Lord. Right.
The devil is just like your money. It will run out. And when your money run out, the devil say, take a loan. But when you got Christ in your life and your money run out, you can be content. Because you'll be like Paul told the Philippians, whatever state I'm in, I am content.
That's right.
But when grace in your life, you're never content. You always, with Christ in your life, you're always looking for the deceiver. You're always looking for something fictitious, something fake.
Something to protect you. Amen.
That's what the devil. So in times of trials, one of the first things that come upon you is fear. And fear is emotions.
Oh, yes.
God has not given us, not just me now as I'm preaching, God has not given the listener us the spirit of fear. So who is it? It's the devil. It's the deceiver. Think about that for a minute before I go forward. What is fear? Fear is a feeling you get when you feel you have no control, I told you, over a situation. But if you trust in God, you don't have to lean to your own understanding how you're going to handle it. You will trust God in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You will trust God. And you will lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. And he said, do what? Direct your path. In other words, no matter what's in your past, he'll remove it. What's in your future, he'll control it. What in the present, he'll sustain it. When you trust God, he'll do it all. Fear is a feeling you get when you feel you have no control over a situation. That's a bad situation to be in. You go to the doctor, you got a cold as a metaphor, and he don't know what it is. But you just coughing, you feel bad at night, you can't go to sleep, and you done went to a doctor. God ain't like that. God, if he can't fix it, he's trying to show you something, because he's going to give you the ability by fixing it so you can endure some suffering. Because he told Paul, he said, this thorn is sufficient. Paul went to Jesus several times and said, remove this sin. But Jesus said, no, my grace is sufficient. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. Even if God don't deliver you right now, God's going to strengthen you to do something. You know, God is strengthening you in a situation. The devil can't do that with you in a situation. The devil will destroy you in a situation. But Jesus can help you in a helpless situation. He can give you the strength to endure it. He can give you the strength to take that thorn. He can give you the strength to use it as a testimony to help somebody else. The devil ain't going to let you help nobody. But God let you take a situation and let you go through it. And God say, now you turn around and help somebody, because you will tell them you can be an encouragement because you came through it. But we got to be all in with God. With our mind, with our heart, with our soul, with our might. And so we no longer own ourselves. When you present your body in Romans 12:1, when you present your body as a living sacrifice, that means you don't yield yourself And now you're going to back up. You're going to get behind God's word, and you're going to trust God in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You ain't going to lean to your own understanding. You're just going to be yield. You're just going to be cautious. You're going to be slow. You ain't going to head of God. You ain't going to go around God. You're just going to let God lead you. You're just going to let the word be a lamp to your feet and light into your pathway. You're going to be in righteousness, and you're going to tell somebody who's self-righteous, no, that's the wrong righteousness. You got to be self-righteous. You got to get behind God. How are you going to drive a car and get in front of the car? Am I preaching right now, preacher?
My.
How you going to drive a car and get in front of the car? How are you going to go into righteousness and get in front of God? How are you going to do it?
Amen.
Who deceiving you? Who deceiving you to make you lose yourself and lose your mind, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul? Who making you lose your mind? Who making you lose your soul? Who making you do this sin? The devil. You think you're in control because you made a decision, but you don't lost control. You're reacting to fear. The reality is that you actually don't have any control over any situation. Even when you're doing good, the actuality is you don't have no control over that situation. When you're doing good, it's God that dwells in you to do that. And he's using you as a contour, as a vessel. We need to get this thing understood. That's why he told you, not that any man should boast. In Ephesians 2:9. He said, for by grace I'm saved. In Ephesians 2:8. By faith. And not of yourself. So if you're doing good, start talking about what you're doing and talk about, look at how what God's doing through you. The reality is that you actually don't have any control over any situation. You might think you do, but you don't. God is the only one who has complete control over any situation. And I can back that up in Colossians. He's the only one, because he's the only creator. It's many creatures, but there's only one creator. Who is that? God! So how you over something you don't have the DNA to? How you over it? How you over something you don't have the recipe? How you over it, you didn't blow your breath in nothing? How you over it? It's God's breath that dwells in you. He blew into your nostril. You didn't blow into nobody's nostril. Oh, you might resuscitate somebody, but you alive in him. Because the scripture said in Acts 17:28, we live, we move and have our being in him. So if you live right now, it's in him. If you disobedient, it's not in him. But if you're obedient, it's in him. My Lord. Now you see, by the teaching tonight, you ain't in control of nothing. And if you're in control of something, say thank you, Jesus. Because it's Jesus that in control of your life that making you make the right decision. You might think you do, but you don't. God is the only one who has complete control over any situation. You might have control over some situation when you're doing wrong, because God ain't no author of wrong. You might be disobedient. Oh, you got control over that, because God give you a free will, free choice. Oh, you got control over that, and you're going to see when you do something, it don't last. Am I preaching to anybody up in the church? You know right now, you done got into a relationship. They didn't last because God didn't put you together. You wouldn't have got together because you was in the flesh. If you was in the spirit, you would have never had sex before you got married if you was in the spirit.
Amen.
You would have never lied to her and had two people you were dating at the same time if you was in the spirit. You was in the flesh. And so what you plant, that what you reap, and the reason why the relationship didn't work out, because you didn't start off right. You didn't cultivate the grind properly. You didn't prepare the grind. You prepared it in the spirit of deceiving. And many times we don't want to face that fear of the truth, so we'd rather not deal with the situation. But I'm here tonight to tell you, you ain't got nothing to put your head down about. And you need to recognize who is the creator and realize you're the creature. And we know all things work together, the bad that you've been in, the difficult that you've been in, the trial that you've been in. God's going to work it out for your good if you love him. And if you don't love him, you might get stuck in it.
My.
You got to love God. God is the only one who has complete control over any situation. Trial and tribulation are words that we do not like to hear. We don't like to talk about trials. We like to talk about testimony of vanity things. Vanity, vanity. Said the priest, I got a new job. It won't last. I got a new car. It ain't going to last. I got a new house, but it made by hand. It won't last. I got a builder that ain't made by hand, but it'll last. The spirit.
My.
I don't care what kind of warranty you get on it. It ain't going to last. Care what kind of friend you have out here right now. He ain't going to last like the friend like Jesus. What a friend I have in Jesus. He ain't going to last. Your friend might die, and he ain't been saved, and he ain't no God, so your friendship is over. But if you die, and you love God, and God love you, you last eternal with God. Am I talking to anybody up in this church?
My.
So, we see trials and tribulation. A word that we do not like to hear. They come to us in every walk of life. Many will face physical trials. Our troubles, maybe a family or a relationship trial. We all have our cross to bear. Some people seem to believe that if you become a Christian, that all of your trials will go away. This type of belief is not found in the scripture. Am I right about that? Quite the contrary. Jesus never told his followers that if they follow him, everything would be great. I wrote it. He told the people that follow him will be a difficult road. Tonight we will learn when trial come what it takes not to have fear. Those of you who listen to me right now, please, if you may and be so kindly, turn to Hebrews 11:1. And we're going to see, it's going to take some ingredients to handle our trial. Am I right about that? Some of the main ingredients we're going to need is going to be in this scripture here, in Hebrews 11:1. And now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
My. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. It seems like we've lost. Amen. Yes.
Praise the Lord. I'm back. The devil is a lie. He don't want nobody to deal with or learn how to deal with their trials.
My Lord.
But I'm back on airwaves. And so I was talking to you about Hebrews 11:1. That faith is a substance. Now I told you in Ephesians 2:8, by faith, by grace you say through faith. The faith that Jesus had in you that gave you hope in the grace. See, you can't have hope. You can't have grace without hope.
That's right.
You get grace through hope. And faith is a certain thing hope for. So your faith is in him, and your hope is in him, and that way you get grace in him, and grace produces favor in your life.
Hallelujah.
And how can you heal without the preacher? And how can you preach this as if you've been sent? Something must be upon me as he sent me. The Holy Spirit was upon me as I preach.
My Lord.
A lot of times people think about grace. They got grace because they're doing well, and they think they're sick. You've been deceived by the devil. You don't got to know about grace. You say, through faith that he had in you that to give you grace, that gives you unmerited favor. And the favor is in you, and you know it's your favor. You should want to give God back the glory with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your spirit, with everything you do. Trust in him and lean not to your own understanding. You should want to cast your understanding in for him.
Amen.
And so we see the next verse. Since I was dealing with my mind, my heart, my soul, my strength, I want you to turn to Luke 10 and 19.
Right.
I'm trying to help somebody get through their trial, because now you're going to have an adversary out there don't want you to get with it. The adversary is going to come up upon you, and he's going to make you lose focus, and you're going to stay focused, and now you're going to be distracted. Now you, when you're distracted, you lose your faith, you lose your hope, you lose your unmerited favor through grace that saved you.
My Lord, my Lord.
So let me tell you how to handle your adversary in Luke 10 and 19. It says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, the devil, the deceiver. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So you ain't got to worry about putting on the armor what Paul was talking about. That's good. But see, this is showing for this the benefit of love. Love conquer a multitude of love. The enemy has to stay away from love. The enemy can't try to come up upon you. If you love God with all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, all your body, the enemy got to flee, because the enemy don't like love. He like division.
Amen.
But when you ain't got love in you, You don't have the proper love. You got conditional love. I'm talking about agape love, unconditional love. You got to get unconditional love, agape love. You got to get love God with all your heart.
Amen. Amen.
If you don't got agape love, the enemy will get you. He'll sniff you out like wheat. He'll sniff you out. He'll get you. He crafty. He cunning. And then it says, notwithstanding, in this, rejoice not that the spirit are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name are written in heaven. God
yes.
got your name written in heaven.
Amen.
But do you want to sign my question, or do you want to sign off on it?
My.
Do you want to cash the check?
Hmm.
Do you want to cash the check tonight?
Lord help.
Do you want to cash the check? You can't cash this check, I'm talking about, unless you got love. Agape love. I ain't talking about that definitely love, that saliva love, that salama love, that brother love. I ain't talking about brother love, because brother love fall out. Brother love could turn around and be an adversary. Brother love would turn around and be an enemy.
Yes.
Am I preaching to anybody up in this church?
Oh, yes.
I'm talking to somebody that's got agape love that can restore your brother. Because God said, if you love God with all your mind, all your soul, all your might, he said, now you can love them that the beatitude thought to accuse you. You can love them. You're all in. You represent Christ now. You're all in. You can heal the world now because you got love. You can bring peace to broken family that you're showing them how to love because they're watching you. You need agape love to deal and go through trials. Because it's going to be family trials, like I told you earlier. There's going to be financial trials. And financial trials disrupt the family. And family sometimes disrupt because financial trials. And there are relationship trials because there's no love. So just all go back to love. Now, and all of love, not partial love. All with your all parts of your body, your mind, your heart, your soul. I don't love it. And then it says, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. I just revealed it to babies. How to love. God just revealed it through the scripture. How to handle your trial. Through love. agape love. Not philo love, brother love, agape love. On top of unconditional. It don't matter what nobody do. Because see what people do to you, that they ever get in there, they make you lose your blessing. They make you lose your reward. You diligent seeking God with all your heart. And then he said, I'm a reward of them that diligently seek you in Hebrew, but you don't got five stripes because the devil sent a trial to you and you didn't know how to handle it in the family. So you start loving them because they did something. They let you down. And when they let you down, but you don't let God down. Now, is that agape love? What kind of love is that? That's conditional love. Lord, help.
Yeah.
Help me this morning right now, Lord. Help me this afternoon, Lord. Help me, Lord, right now, speak to your people. Help me, Lord. People losing their family because they stop loving. People losing their job because they don't know how to love nobody on the job. People stop going to church because somebody in the church wants mature as Christians, so they stop going. Well, where was your love in your heart? Where was your love? Where was your love to restore them? Where was you in the script you've been studying? Esteem other higher than you esteem yourself in Philippians 2 something. Where was your love? Why you didn't restore them? Lord, help. Help us, Lord. Be helpful to one to another and stop trying to be over each other. Help us, Lord. Be servant to each other and stop trying to have rulership over each other. Help us, love. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We need you. We got to get it right, Lord. But first, we got to understand the scripture, Lord. Many don't understand the scripture. Who teaching the scripture, Lord? They telling prosperity. They got people focused on material things. They ain't got people focused on suffering. They ain't got people focused on trusting. They ain't got people trusting on not leaning to their understanding. They got people focused on trying to understand it. Just no. I'm talking about turn it over to God with all your heart, with all your mind. Turn it over to God and watch your family get better. Stop trying to deal with your husband. Stop trying to handle your husband. Husband, stop trying to handle your wife. Preacher, start trying to handle somebody God done anointed to preach the gospel with your opinion. The Bible says in James 1:19, be swift to hear. Why you don't want to hear me, but you want me to hear you? What kind of love is that? That's conditional love. That's not unconditional. And that's what's wrong with the church today. Because they preaching, I'm a preacher now, and I don't think a sheep can help me. The sheep can help me when they listen to me, but how are you going to listen to me if I'm being nasty to him and trying to rule him? Ain't serving him. Ain't been a servant to him. I don't want him to serve me. Listen to me. Don't talk. Do what I say. When are you going to start doing what God say? When are you going to start being the servant that you need to be? We get confused in the church. Because there's no love of God. There's no Christ love in the church or in the home. Nobody is doing the way God say do it. And so that brings me to this last scripture. In time of trial, you must submit completely to God. That's what I'm talking about, love with all your heart, with all your mind. That was Luke talking about, the physician. He's trying to help you. He's a doctor. God called Luke the doctor. The doctor trying to help you in his writing. And he said, you know, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and you won't take the medicine because you got a certain person you want to love who agree with you, who in sin with you, who won't stand up to you. You like people that have fear of you. You like to control people through fear, and you beat them with their emotions. That's not God. God don't beat people with fear. God bring fear and bring reverence to him by respect. If you live the word, you're going to respect God. Everything God says in his word going to come true. That's the type of fear that brings respect. That ain't the type of fear that brings not no control. I ain't talking about that type of fear. That ain't the type of fear that God used. He gave you a choice to serve him. And he died and knowing that half of us ain't going to do it. Because that's great. God says you might turn one day and he might use you for a testimony. So God never gives up on you. He got hope, grace.
Yes.
Yeah, see. To get grace, you got to have some hope. Grace, you just don't get it. It's about the favor that God gave you through faith if you believe in him. You can't have faith in yourself. Your faith in yourself will cause you to self-destruct. You have no control of your life. So if you have no control of your life, why put faith in your life? Why would God tell you to trust him if he wants you to have trust in yourself? Why would God tell you that? Why would God do that? God ain't no, God is simplicity. God ain't confusion. See, God ain't telling you to believe in yourself. He said, trust me. If God wants you to believe in yourself, he would have told you to trust him. He would have told you to trust yourself. He would have told you to lean to your understanding. And that's why fear comes in your life, because you trust him. The devil can scare you, but the devil can't scare God. That's why if you got fear of something and you can't conquer nothing, that means Christ ain't in your life. And you can take that to the bank and sign off on that check. If you scared of something, now fear sometimes come to make you yield. And then you until you slow down and get behind God. But if you stay scared and you stay with fear, God ain't in your life. Because God told you he give you power to tread over serpents and enemies. So I want to bring this to, turn to me with James 4 and 7. James 4 and 7. My Lord, in times of trial, you must submit yourself completely. You must stop leaning and stop thinking and stop wrestling with a situation. Because when you're wrestling with something, you ain't really turn over to God. You got to turn over to God for yourself. Submit yourself, therefore, and I was talking to you about the deceiver early in my sermon, the devil. He's the only deceiver. Somebody, God don't deceive his people. He said, submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Love. Cleanse your hand, ye sinner, and purify your heart, your mind. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Yield your body, your flesh, until you come into the knowledge. And mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to morning and your joy to heaven. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And that's what I want to leave with you. Submit yourself. And the devil, that deceiver will flee, that fear will flee, that emotion will be uncontrolled, that love will be purified. And I hope I have said something to somebody on this airway that was going through a trial. I hope I reminded you to stay focused on Hebrews 11:1. I hope I was able to let you be focused and remind you to turn to St. Luke 10:19, which dealing with the greatest commandment is love. And you can love the enemy. You can love the one that who was your brother, but they fell out with you because they didn't have a godly love. They were immature. And I hope you can understand in James 4:7. If you submit yourself to God's ways, the greatest commandment is love, the devil got to go. And if he don't go, if the devil ain't one of your brother, if you got the agape love, your love will draw your brother. He'll draw near to you because he'll see your love. And he won't be afraid of coming to you. He'll see love. And love will cover a multitude of sin and fear. Pray my strength in the Lord, and I thank God for this opportunity that I had. And if there's anybody out there who has any question, or anybody out there want prayer, or anybody out there want Elder Howell to answer some question, or Evangelist Beecham to respond on something that they heard that pricked them, feel free. Call in. I'm going to turn it back over to the host, Reverend Cleveland Howell. Amen.
My. Amen. Well, we want to thank the Lord tonight for using the man of God to share with us concerning love, how we have to have it one for another, how to handle your trials. And it's so amazing that the evangelist, he mentioned that tonight. I was reading on Abraham just yesterday, and when he mentioned how do you handle your trials, it took me back to Abraham when the Lord told him to sacrifice Isaac. How did he handle it? How did he handle it? He trusted God. So we challenge you tonight as we prepare to close the Mighty Man of Valor show. We want to thank the Lord for the speaker tonight. We want to thank the Lord for his anointing tonight. We thank God just for being himself. And I challenge you tonight, is there one who doesn't know Jesus as your personal Savior? Tonight is your night. Amen. Is there one who have gone astray and you want to get back onto the right pathway? Tonight is your night. And I challenge you tonight to allow the Lord to have first place in your life. Amen. There's no other place God wants to be but first. So we've been having some problems with the show for a few weeks. Also, I learned that there's no audio on this show, but we thank the Lord, amen. We thank the Lord that his word can go forth and that it won't return unto him void. Amen. We ask that if there's any who need prayer tonight, whatever you may need, the altar is open, the airlines are open, just press 1 and we'll pray. Amen. With you and for you. Amen. Evangelist Beecham, can you pray for us tonight? Close up the show. Amen.
Yes. I thank you now for your spirit that you allowed me to use, Father God, tonight to speak to your people. God, as you pray, a prayer for the host, Reverend Cleveland Howe, Lord, and Lord, I ask you to continue to bless him, strengthen him, Lord. Father God, we thank you for the man of God that who not only preached the word, Father God, but lived the word of God, Father God, with not just his love, Father God, but with his mind, his soul, Father God. He saturated himself in your word, Father God. And I thank God, you know, for allowing him to be in my life, Father God. And Father God, just thank God for his wife, Father God, that who walked beside him, that support him, Father God. I thank you, Father God, for the man of God. I thank you, Father God, for my pastor, Father God, our shepherd,
yes.
Father God. I thank you for Pastor Rose, Father God. I thank you for not just my pastor, for all the pastors throughout the whole world, Father God, throughout the country,
yes,
Father God. Thank you, Father God, for leaders, Father God, that touching the people that I can't touch, that even Elder Howard can't touch, Father God. That's why you say I give pastor after my own heart, because God, you got different people all over the places, God. You got different languages, Father God. So you need different pastors, Father God. We need to understand it's not about one man, Father God, it's about many in the body that you choose to use for your glory.
Yes, Lord.
And so, Father God, I pray for the listener, Father God, but that's the ears, Father God, and they living it, Father God, and we preach it, Father God. They just in the point that we preaching it, Father God, because we need somebody to live it, Father God. So, Father God, again, many members in one body representing the kingdom of God, Father God. It's not about man, Father God. It's not about us, Father God. It's not about who brought the word tonight. It's about your word. It's not about the messenger.
Yes.
It's the word. It's the message in the word, which is your word, Father God. You the author. You the finisher, Father God. You the beginning. You the ending. We between, Father God.
Yes.
And you trust enough to preach your word now, Father God. There's somebody out there right now didn't have the faith to say that they need it. They didn't want nobody to hear that. They needed prayer. But, Father God, you said, prayer will go into Christ, the valleys, the hills, the mountains, the river, the lake, the bushes, Father God. And I believe, Father God, in the Christ house, Father God, in rooms that people cry on right now, Father God. I believe if they hear me and hear my voice, they're going to know it's you, Lord.
Amen.
Crying out,
Lord.
And let them know that. Come forward. Hold your head up. Stay away from the fear and get yourself back under control, under suggestion to the higher power, the oracles of God, the principle, the word of God, which is a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your pathway. Now, as I depart, Father God, touch somebody's mind, their soul, their body, Father God, their family, Father God, their troubles, their relationship, touch them, Father God. Just I pray in your name, Father God.
Yes, Lord.
Your servant.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
And amen.
Amen. Amen.
And amen.
Amen. We
tonight, we thank you for taking the time out
to be with us tonight on the Mighty Man of Valor Show, man. We thank the Lord for his word tonight, amen. A beautiful, powerful word. And we just want to tell the Lord thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, without further ado, we're going to prepare our hearts and minds to close out the show, amen. We just ask that you would continue to keep us in your prayers. And we keep you in our prayers. Sweet, same place. God bless you. Amen. God bless you, preacher.
Amen. Come here,